Okay, Parshas Yisro. So Parshas Yisro is very interesting in that it begins that Yisro hears something. He hears something which is enough to make Yisro decide to come, right? Moshe is kasher asal kim Moshe Yisrael amal kielzi Hashem es bnei Yisro mitzrayim. Yisro hears, right, all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Moshe, to Bnei Yisrael, and then Yisro takes Tzipporah and Tzipporah's two children, right, they're not referred to as Moshe's children, right? The children have a name, Gershom, we tell you the reason for his name, Eliezer, we tell you the reason for his name, and then Yisro comes to Moshe, to the desert, and he tells Moshe, I'm your father-in-law, and your wife and her children are here. So Moshe goes to greet Yisro, he kisses him, and then they say Shalom Aleichem, they come into the tent, and then Moshe tells him all the story, and then Yisro gets happy, and he says, Baruch Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved you from Mitzrayim, now I know that God is great, and then Yisro offers Karbanos. Right, that's the beginning of this week's parasha, correct? I think it was just like a little bit of a brief summary. I don't know if it, what I just did now is as fast as Sam Weiss lanes, but it's close, right? So now, what's going on here, right? Yisro heard something. He comes. And then Moshe tells Yisro everything that happened. And then Yisro says, wow, that's amazing. Baruch Hashem, let's bring Karbanos. So what's Moshe telling Yisro that Yisro didn't know already? Right, what is changing between what Yisro knew at the beginning and then what Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yisro? Does anyone want to make suggestions or should I tell you what I think we could say? And then we'll learn a few Rashis and make some comments. So if you read the Pesukim carefully, there's a difference in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no? Vayishma Yisro es kol asher osa Elokim l'moshe al Yisrael, ki hoitzi Hashem es Yisro mimitzrayim. Right? So you have Elokim and Hashem. And then, Pasuk Ches, Oysaper Moshe l'chos no, es kol asher osa Hashem l'faro l'mitzrayim al odos Yisrael. Right? So one difference is that Yisro hears about Elohim and Hashem. No? Elohim refers to Midas Hadin. Hashem refers to Midas Harachamim. Yisro views it like from his perspective. Remember, Chazal say, Rashi quotes this over here, that Yisro had worshipped all the Avodah Zarahs on the planet. Yisro, from his perspective, views it like there's really shtei reshuyos. So Elokim, Midas Hadin, is punishing Mitzrayim, and Midas Harachamim is taking Bnei Yisrael out. Right? And he's viewing it like two separate things. What Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yisro is that no, that is kol asher asa Hashem lefaro Mitzrayim al odos Yisrael. Everything is coming from Midas Harachamim, no? Rav Huttner used to say that Midas Harachamim is the Av, and Midas Hadin is a tolda of Midas Harachamim. The reason why, and that's exactly pshat in this pasuk, is kol asher osa Hashem lefa'al Mitzrayim ol odos Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Harachamim is punishing Mitzrayim al odos Yisrael. Now, that could come in a few different ways. It could be Midas HaRachamim, is that Hashem's Rachamonis for Bnei Yisrael is so great that he has to punish Mitzrayim. Or it could be that even the punishments given to Mitzrayim were punishments b'Midas HaRachamim. Right? Remember, there are 10 Makkos. Everyone asks, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to bring 10 Makkos on Mitzrayim? Why can't you just bring Makkos Bechoros and Genuk, we're done? Why do you have to go through 10 Makkos? The answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmonos even on Paro, until that point when Paro hardens his heart, like Makkah number 7, no? But HaKadosh Baruch has Rachmanos, and he's trying to go slowly. But it's not working. So even the punishments to Mitzrayim were punishments of Rachmanos. So I think one suggestion about the difference between the first, what Yisrael heard, and what Moshe Rabbeinu tells him refers to the Shem Hashem, no? You have another suggestion, or you want
to? I was thinking on the Elohim, because so if you look at what's Mashmo Shamoba, right? Rashi, Kri Samson Melchamas Amalek.
Yeah.
Right. Those are both things that he saw happen as a punishment to the Mitzrim, well, right?
Amalek, and, yeah.
Right, or a punishment to enemies of Klal Yisrael, and that's like more of a Midas Adin. Right, but Rashi omits the third shita in
the Gemara. Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
In the Gemara.
About Har Sinai. Right. So that we'll talk about in a few minutes, that Rashi leaves the third shita out, which is highly suggestive. Right. Are you trying to go anywhere with this? Or
no, I'm trying to say that he's...
You're saying because Elohim doesn't refer to the Maimed Har Sinai dimension. Maimed Har Sinai is no din.
Right.
Maimed Har Sinai is kulo rachamim.
Right.
So that could be what leads Rashi in that direction. I think that certainly is possible. The question that Naftali is raising is the Gemara. Rashi, in the first Rashi in the Parsha, says that what Yisroel heard was Kriyas Yamsef HaMelchemes HaMalek, no? Why does Rashi leave out the third position in that Gemara in Zvachim, that what Yisro heard was about Matan Torah? Right, so one approach could be, we could say that maybe Rashi is trying to go according to the opinion that Yisro came before Matan Torah. Right? That's a machlokas in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara in Zvachim, right? There's a machlokas whether Yisro came. So maybe Rashi is saying that. Alternatively, Naftali is suggesting, based on what we said with the Elohim, that there's no Elohim, right? Elohim as a Midas Hadin doesn't really apply to Maimed Har Sinai. That's Naftali's suggestion, which I think is very good. I have a third suggestion over here. Maybe. Rashi writes in his methodological introduction to Chumash that his approach is not to give you all the midrashim, but to give those midrashim that go lefi pshuto shomikra. No? That's what Rashi tells me. Pshuto shomikra, there's a connection to Amalek. The connection to Amalek is juxtaposition, no? Sof parshas Bishalach vayavo Amalek. Parshas Yisro, right? So Amalek I got. Pshuto Shel Mikra, I have a connection to Kriyas Yamsuf. Because Kriyas Yamsuf, the Torah says, that all the nations of the world heard. Shamu Amim Yirgazun, Chil Achaz Yoshvei Ploshas, no? So all the nations, so that's Pshuto Shel Mikra. Zakt Rashi, according to Pshuto Shel Mikra, I have two of them. What about Maimed Har Sinai? So we know Chazal say that the entire world heard and it was unbelievable, etc., right? Pshuto Shemikra, Vushteit. Is there any indication in the Psukim that the whole world heard about Maimed Har Sinai? Zot Rashi, there is none. And that's why Rashi only quotes two, doesn't quote the third. That's what Nira Lafia Niestaiti, that's why Rashi doesn't quote the third. Again, but like, these are all possibilities. But let's go back to our original question. What did Moshe Rabbeinu tell Yisro? What did Moshe Rabbeinu tell Yisro that Yisro did not already know? So one mahalach we said is Elohim and Hashem. Next approach. Pasuk Ches. Eis kohatloa asher mitzosam baderech vayatzilem Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yisrael all the bad things that they suffered baderech. Now, tloa is translated by the Gaon and Tzaddik art scroll as troubles. Right? Is that the way they translate it?
Travails.
Travails. Okay. Travails. So, I think one of the differences between what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is that Yisro heard the big... Yisro heard the headlines. Jewish people leave Egypt. War against Amalek, won. Kriyas Yamsuf, headlines. But the details of all the difficulties that they had along the way, no? Those details did not make it to the headlines. Those details is what Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yisro. Nosaf al kach, I think the pshat might be that there's a difference between hearing a story from someone who was there and reading it in the newspaper. Right? Moshe Mahadar Vadoma, this past Sunday, there was an event at Kol Yom Rishon.
Yes.
Right? Let me tell you, I was in the building when it happened. It was scary. Right? It's scary. Like, you hear something. I mean, I see on my phone that, like, just be aware that the police are saying that you should get nowhere near Gluck. It's somewhat scary. But it's Eino Dome to hearing from people who were there. Right? People who were there. And, like, when someone called me that night and asked me, should they bench Gomel? I'm a big fan of benching Gomel when there's somebody who comes into it. It's ke'ilu, it's almost the same as what happened to Rabbi Friend. It's like the same type of story. No? A guy comes in and he wants to stab a rabbi.
Rabbi Friend?
Yeah.
Rabbi Friend spoke about this in the Tshuva Drasha one year. Actually, that was the year I was in there, Yisrael, I think. It was like 92 or something. Rabbi Friend, yeah, a guy woke up one morning, decided he wanted to stab a rabbi. He came into the... In there, you saw there's like the Ezra's Nashim, which they use as a base medrash. My friend was up in the Ezra's Nashim. He asked, where's the rabbi? He had a knife in a paper bag. Rabbi Friend actually got stabbed.
Right.
Right? It wasn't like... over here, Baruch Hashem, I don't know what that guy... Like, he put his knife down, and then he started to cry. Two knives. But like... I mean, you were there.
I was there. Plus, he had a duffel bag, which looked like he could have held.
He could have had who knows what in there. I mean, like, the fright that people experienced when you hear it firsthand. So then, Yisro, instead of just knowing the headlines, he hears from Moshe Rabbeinu all the things that happened, and Yisro says, right, he's the first person ever says, Baruch Hashem. Right? Baruch Hashem Asher Hitzo Aschem, Miyad Mitzrayim, Miyad Paro, he brings karbanos, right? That is what does it. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Yisro the same things that Yisro knew already, but hearing it from a first-hand experience is very different. I think that, just again, we're just learning the psukim, no, nothing razzle-dazzle. Again, if you want to speak about it, seriously, if you want to speak about it in Shulat Shalosh Shudos or something, if you have the koach.
Well, I posted because a commentator wrote an article.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see your post. Okay. Oh. Okay, so the first Rashi we already learned, Mashmua Shama Uba. By the way, the Mizrahi has an interesting comment of Mashmua Shama Uba. That the Mizrahi notes that it's not just that Yisro heard something, but Chazal are asking, what did he hear that moved him? You can hear something and rack it up as intellectual information, but Mashmu Hashama Uba, that's the way we have the Rashi, what motivated Yisro to actually do something. Now, the Bali Musar will go to town with this, in terms of the differences between just hearing and actually taking information in, that Yisro is a shemeya in the sense of understanding, not just physical hearing. And I think there's a lot to say. It's interesting to note, just if we're learning Rashi, that the better editions of Rashi do not have the word uba. This Rashi has Mashmo Shama Uba. Better editions of Rashi, as in the Rav Shavel edition, points out that in the all the Defusim Rishonim, the word Uba is not there. The Gemara in Zvachim asks it a little differently. Mashmua Shama Uba Vinisgayer. Right? In other words, the Gemara in Zvachim is assuming that Yisrael is converting based on what he heard, based on what he heard. The assumption is that Yisrael did convert to Yiddishkeit at some point, although it's not exactly clear where this is. There are these families, Mibnei Chovav, who are around. Chovav is one of the names of Yisrael Rashi quotes. But Rashi is deliberately leaving out the words Uba and the word Viniskaya. Right? In other words, the whole shtickle chart that the Balei Musar have, I think, might be based on the following. I'll say that maybe Rashi is changing things around, because it could be that Yisrael wasn't motivated by what he heard to really come and become Jewish. Maybe Yisrael is just bringing Tzipporah and the kids to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because Yisrael heard that Klal Yisrael is now safe.
Go back to your husband. He hears that Moshe is safe.
So he's like, go back to your husband. Go back to daddy. Right? Maybe Yisrael's not motivated anything until after Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, right? Like we pointed out, however we understand it, then Yisrael really came and converted. Right? Then Yisrael brings the karbanos. One of the dinim of a carbon that we don't keep anymore, we don't have carbonus, is a din of carbon hager. When you convert to Yahadus, you need to bring a carbon. It's possible that the carbonus Yisrael is bringing are carbon hager. And Yisrael is converting after Moshe tells him. So Zakt Rashi, I can't have the girsa mashmua shama uba v'nisgayer. Zakt Rashi, it's just mashmua shama. Because Yisrael heard something, right? And then he wasn't motivated yet. What the Balei Musar is saying is not a good diuk according to Rashi, because Yisrael's not converting to Yiddishkeit yet. Right? The real transformation doesn't happen until after Moshe tells it to him.
Why does he go back home?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. After Yisrael gives his advice to Moshe Rabbeinu, he goes back. Right? Moshe sends him away. Pasuk Chav Zayin, no? Vayishalach Moshe Eschosno Vayilachlo El Arzo. Zokt Rashi. Vayishalach Moshe El Chosno Vayilachlo El Arzo Ligayer B'nei Mishpachto. Rashi is doing a sugarcoating. No? What Rashi is saying is that Yisrael leaves, but he's fully Jewish, and he's just going legayer. He's just going to convert everybody else.
He tries to persuade him to stay, and then
correct. There's a whole back and forth. But what Rashi is quoting, again, what's the source of this Rashi? L'gayer b'nei mishpachtoi? It's just a mechota. They don't really talk about this, but it seems like Rashi is saying that Yisrael remains fully Jewish. Don't think chas v'shalom, it's a ger shechazar l'suro, that Yisrael's going back. Okay.
I thought it was more interesting that maybe, perhaps, the Rambam in his formulation of our Amuna, right, talks about how our Amuna doesn't come from the miracles, but rather comes from
we all saw a Mayim at Har Sinai, and right? Yisrael was not there.
And Yisrael, either he was there or he wasn't
No, he definitely wasn't there. Either he heard about or he left beforehand.
Or he left beforehand, but in that third Shita, right, that Rashi omits, it talks about Ma'amar Har Sinai. So the Ma'amar Har Sinai, so that's more relevant to the Gemara and Zvachim that talks about Bo Nisgayer. right? Because his bone is gayer
because of
a real amuna rather than an amuna chased with dofi.
Interesting, but remember the Rambam says that the reason why we believe in Moshe Rabbeinu is because we all saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to Moshe at Marmed HaSinai and say Moshe, Moshe, etc. Right? Yisro did not see that. Everyone is masking. Yisro was not present at Marmed HaSinai.
Okay.
He heard about Marmed HaSinai and he came after, right? Or he came before Marmed HaSinai and he left.
Right.
But I think it's a Dover Pasha that Yisro was not present at the Sinaitic
revelation. Personally, in my lifetime, didn't see it either, but I still believe
that we have to get into like Kuzari explanations and stuff. There's a lot to say, but Enochnami.
Rashi is just arguing on the Rambam in that part that you could accept the Geiris that is based on an experience.
How
great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, the Kol Yisrael.
I mean, it's certainly interesting that in our tradition, Yisro is not the paradigmatic Geir. Right. Rus is who we talk about as being the Geiris. Right? You would have thought maybe we'd give Yisro something. Yisro is not spoken about besides in Parshas Yisro. I mean, Yisro doesn't really...
I forget which Parsha, but...
Because he left.
He leaves, he comes back. But we don't have much in our tradition focused on the milos of Yisro and like, no? Besides, this pasuk, this is where they talk about Yisro. In this parasha. Like, he gives advice to Moshe. It's interesting. That's all. That's all I want to know. Now, let me learn a little more about Rashi. Let's learn a little more Rashi. Yisrael, Zakt Rashi, right? Second Rashi in the parasha. Shiva Shemos Nikru Lo. He has seven names. Ro Yeser, Yisro Chovav Chever, Keni Putio. Zakt Rashi, he explains the names. Yeser, there's an extra parasha in the Torah, the parasha of Ato Techeze. Yisrael, after he converted and he was Mekayim Mitzvahs, he got an extra letter to his name, similar to Avram becoming Avraham, right? Conversion adds to your name. That's the minhag that at Geirus we give you a Jewish name. Chovav, he loved Torah. And Chovav is Yisrael. Reuel, there's two opinions in Rashi, whether Reuel is Yisrael's father, whether Reuel is Yisrael. Ad kan divrei Rashi. What's problematic with this Rashi? Rashi begins that there are seven names. No? How many names does Rashi explain?
Not
three of them. You ever notice this?
Yisrael, Chovav, and Reuel.
He doesn't. He explains Yeser and Yisrael and Chovav and maybe Reuel. So maybe he's explaining four names.
Well,
Keni
is obvious.
What? Keni is the nation. B'nei Keni. Chever. Rashi doesn't explain Chever. The Mechota writes, Chever means that he was Mechaber himself to call Yisrael. Putiel, because he used to be Mefate Magolim Lavodah Zarah. Rashi, for some reason, doesn't say anything about these names. I'm not sure why. Why would Rashi give us, like, half of a Medrash?
Because the Putiel, I think,
is
Pinchas, right?
Pinchas is Ra'isem ben Putizeh, right, etc. Correct. Okay. So that's another point. Then Rashi makes a point that Yisro is called Chosein Moshe, that Yisro is being miskabed by Moshe, right? Moshe earlier was miskabed by Yisro. Now, by the way, Chazal say on this week's parasha that this is the source that you have to have honor for your father-in-law. I hope my father-in-law is listening to the shiur. That this is the source that you have to have honor, you have to mechab your father-in-law. There's a whole discussion in the Achrayinim about whether it's covered for chomiv, is that a din d'oraisa, is that a din d'rabbanon. The Pashtus is the Midrashim that are learning it out from Moshe Rabbeinu giving Kavod to Yisrael, right? That Moshe goes and he serves a meal for Yisrael, all the, right? It's Kavod Chomev. The Pashtus might be that it's a din de Oraisa. It's a little interesting because the Gemara says that if I have a choice between honoring my father and my mother, I honor my father, no? Because ata v'imecha chayovim b'chvod avicha, no? That, again, there's some apparently a statement that a wife is supposed to honor her husband. Ata v'imecha chayovim b'chvod avicha, right? That's what they say. So the problem is, if this is correct, that there's a mitzvah for me to honor my father-in-law, so then I don't understand the Gemara. Because the Gemara says that a married woman has a lower chiyuv of kibud av va'em because she's meshubedes labayla. She's obligated to her husband, and therefore she can't fulfill kibud av to her parents fully. But I don't understand. If the husband is obligated to honor his father-in-law, so then why don't we make the same cheshbon of ata, right? Right, the same cheshbon that they should book. So that's already a halachic question, but that's something that emerges from this week's parasha. Now, Yisro hears. Here, let's make one other point in the Rashi. Look at Rashi, Lemosha Ula Yisrael. Zakt Rashi, that Moshe is Shakol Keneged Yisrael. Then the next Rashi is Ace. Okay, so there's a big problem here with these Rashis. Ready? Rashi is out of order. The pasuk says that Vayishma Yisrael Koyim Midian Chosim Moshe Eis Kol Asher Osa Elokim LaMoshe Ule Yisrael Amo. Eis Kol Asher Osa is before LaMoshe Ule Yisrael. Yet Rashi has it in the reverse order. No? You ever notice that? Right, but when they teach you Yisro, like in, I think I learned Yisro in fourth grade. No? They don't point this out. How come the Rashis are out of order? So Rashi is coming la'afuke, a parish of other Rishonim. You see, I could have learned this Pasuk, and the Rashbam learns the Pasuk, that Yisro hears about all of the miracles that God did to Moshe and to Klal Yisrael. In other words, that there were a set of miracles that God did to Moshe Rabbeinu. But Rashi doesn't learn that any miracles were done to Moshe Rabbeinu, the individual, no? Rashi learns that Moshe is equal to all the Yidden, and Eis Kol Asher Asa Lahem. Zakt Rashi, the miracles that were done for Klal Yisrael, not the miracles to Moshe. Right? Unlike the Rashbam who learns that there were miracles done to Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning that Moshe was saved from Paro's trying to kill him, right? Moshe is saved. Rashi ignores that pshat. And what's striking about Rashi is that Rashi is ignoring this over here, but Rashi on Pasuk Daled is quoting that Medrash, no? Pasuk Daled, got Moshe Rabbeinu, the boy number two is named Eliezer, because Elokei Avi Be'ezri, God helped me, Vayatzileini Mecherev Paro. Right? Zakt Rashi, Vayatzileini Mecherev Paro. When Dasan ben Aviram said that Moshe killed the Mitzri, so Moshe's neck became marble, and when Paro's trying to hit him with the sword, right? Apparently the sword breaks and his neck remains intact. So it's a little funny that Rashi deliberately is being mefarish the pasuk that there's no miracles happening to Moshe when the name Eliezer is given because a miracle happened to Moshe. But maybe dus is dus. Maybe Rashi can't learn like that Rashbam, because remember, what we're saying over here is that Moshe names his son Eliezer because of that miracle, right? Because of the miracle, the son was named Eliezer. But that's not something that Yisro heard now. That's not something that motivated Yisro to come. Right? That was something that Yisro probably knew the whole time. since this boy was born, his name was Eliezer, correct? So Rashi cannot learn that that's what Yisrael heard, because Yisrael knew that way before. He knew that back from the Alter Haim and Midian.
Old news.
Right. So maybe that's the pshat in Rashi. Again, I'm just trying to learn the Rashis.
Unless that one is the miracle that we're talking about to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe was, okay, so he was, however you're going to learn it, he was either from B'nai Levi or he was grew up in the house of Paro. So the miracle that happened to him is somewhat different than the miracles that happened to Klal Yisrael as part of the redemption in Avdus.
Oh, and Ochanami. So, I mean, so you, what you're saying is closer to the Rashbam's pshat.
No, I
think... Right, that Yisro hears about there are special miracles to Moshe which are on a different level than the miracles to Klal Yisrael.
I think it's meaning it's done to Moshe Rabbeinu, but not as part of his leadership of Klal Yisrael.
Moshe the individual, no?
Moshe the individual versus Moshe as the leader of Klal Yisrael. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Vayatzileni Mecherev Paro is a miracle for Moshe as the leader of Klal Yisrael.
He wasn't the leader then.
Not yet, but he's beginning his process, right?
But however many years later...
He has a long detour.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, who said it had to have been Moshe? Right? At that point...
In the Hanami, yeah. I mean, again, Moshe... Rambam writes that... Yeah.
No, but I'm saying, who said it had to have been... At that point, who said Moshe was going to be the Mashiach to Eli Yisrael? Like, it could be that if Moshe wouldn't have, you know, done the other things, that there would have been someone else. Maybe Aaron or...
Me? Yeah. I don't know. These are just some points to think about. Okay. Basically, we learned one pasuk tonight, but not so bad. Okay, Yasha Kalach, thank you.
All of Shani and then back.
We did all of Shani and then back. Again, I'm trying to show the context of the pasuk, but that question about what's the difference when Moshe repeats it to Yisro, I think that's the fundamental question in this aliyah. Okay, Yasha Kalach, we should have a good Shabbos.